I'm Hugh.
I'm Linda.
Together we're Hinda.
And this is Hindacast.
Episodes 5 to 8 now, and a lot is happening.
It's really hotting up, isn't it? What about the last two weddings?
You have the last two weddings. You had two whole episodes, 3 hours of entertainment on Confessions Week and a dinner party. What more could you ask for?
Not much, really, but let's delve into it.
Yeah.
So we had Richard and Andrea, wasn't it, who married at first sight?
Our older couple.
What about these two?
Well, Richard goes on and on and on about how young looking he is at 62. I think he looks a fair 62. I think, if anything, he looks slightly older than 62.
I know, I think he looks okay for 62. Yeah, like, I mean, he's fine. Like,
I know, but he keeps going on and on and on about it.
Yeah, he does, actually. Yeah,
far too much.
Yeah.
Far, far too much. Great connection at the wedding.
Andrea is lovely, isn't she?
She is. She seems right for it.
Yeah. The two of them are just like love's young dream. It's like, seriously, it's like last chance dance, and they were just kind of open to it.
Not without reason, Linda. It's not just like they're saying, oh, this is our last chance, so we'll just stick together and it'll all be grand. They do have genuine common interests. No doubt about that.
I like to think that, you know, the older you get, you'd have different priorities in a relationship.
Okay.
And I'm sure a 62-year-old and 53-year-old, they know what they don't want.
Hmm.
And they know what works for them. They're hopefully able to kind of compromise and able to discuss and communicate.
Yeah. Well, they certainly are able to do all of that. And the families, most importantly, they believe in this union. There was no dissenting voices there.
Not at all. The family were well behind them. Both their families were well behind them. And as you said, I mean, there was definitely chemistry between, was it the honeymoon? Was it the wedding night? They consummated the marriage or the night after?
No, I think it was the first morning of the honeymoon. Having said that, it looked that cold over there. You'd probably have to be doing something to keep warm.
What else would it be doing? Seriously, it looked like they got the short straw when it came to honeymoons, but it suited them. They seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, look, we've seen dead exotic locations so many times, and the most horrible of honeymoons. Harrison and Bronte come to mind, especially. It really doesn't matter where a couple go on honeymoon. If they're going to have a good time, they're going to have a good time. If they're going to have a shocker, they have a shocker.
They do. And when they went to the dinner party, it seemed united. They, you know, they were kind of, she was certainly talking well about him and him about her. And they were a really united couple coming in. Richard made a comment when Jack was called out.
Yeah.
And he was kind of saying, oh, well, I mean, I heard that you went to America for 3 months. You told her that you went to America for three months. So he did engage a little bit in the conversation, but overall, he didn't have too much to say.
Yeah. He just had a nice little bit of authority. And Jack never denied it. But we'll be talking about that later.
Yeah, he was just kind of saying, this is what I heard, just saying.
Hmm.
And, you know, and he kind of left it there. So, yeah, I did. I liked the way he handled that. I think the real drama came during Confessions Week.
The photo task. I remember John saying, maybe last year, maybe the year before, that it's not so much where you rank your partner, although I think personally that's quite important. It's about how you do it. And he did it badly. Very, very badly.
I'm sorry to say. I mean, and I'm all for Richard. I think he seems like a genuinely nice guy, but he came across like a perv.
He did.
You know, it was just like oogling all these much, 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 much younger women who were practically younger than his daughter.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, she's hot and she's got a great body and all of this kind of
nice
stuff.
Nice body.
I just felt like vomiting in my mouth. It just didn't do it for me. And I don't think Andrea was too happy with it either. Actually, what do you think, Hugh? Was she more like annoyed about where he put her, or do you think she was more annoyed about the comments he made about the other brides?
Both. I don't know if you can rank one above the other. It was the fact that he was so deliberate and detailed and knowledgeable about the other bride's looks. Yeah, that was probably worse. Okay, if you want to say it was probably worse, because he was doomed from the time he was doing that. No matter where he placed her, even if he placed her at the top, I think he was still doomed.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And she was devastated. She was really, really hurt and upset because, in fairness, she was competing. He was kind of making her compete with much younger brides, you know, in relation to looks. And that is not fair.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's fair of the experts to put either of them in that position either. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we have basically two couples who are pretty much over 50, thereabouts. It's an issue.
Yeah, well, look, we'll see how that unfolds. But the thing that I did like about Richard was how he apologised and how he handled it afterwards when Andrea said that she was upset.
Oh, no, he owned it. He absolutely owned it.
He did. Well, he certainly owned it in his piece to camera.
Mm.
He was trying to make amends, but he does recognise now that there is a gap there.
Yeah.
He's created a gap.
Obviously, they're brand new. We didn't feature them on last week's show. We need to give them a mark out of 5 for chances of saying yes at final vows.
I think I'm going to give these a 4. I think they have the emotional maturity to make it through.
Yeah. At this point in time, probably if anybody's going to make it through, it's going to be them. I have to agree with you. I think let's give them a star performance on this because they went through a difficulty and the guy stood up and owned his mistake and they seem to carry on very well together and in fact grow from it and maybe get a little bit closer. So I'm going to be extra positive and I'm going to go 5.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, let's go 5.
God, you're putting your money where you're making.
No, I don't often do this, but hell.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Okay, so what about Lauren and Jonathan?
Lauren and Jonathan are our other new couple. Oh my God. We said in the last podcast how well the experts generally, at least on paper, were matching the couples. This was one where they said opposites attract.
But they do seem to be attracted to each other. And you know, on paper, they look like they're complete polar opposites. Mm. But they are actually bringing out the best in each other. Lauren is chaos personified.
Oh, God.
She's a nut job.
She's a crash. A car crash.
Isn't she? And again, she's owning herself. Like, you know, she doesn't make any excuses. She knows who she is and she's not making any excuses for it. She's not apologising.
She's one of those characters who you could make a whole podcast on. No bother at all.
Yeah, exactly. She's funny. She's hilarious.
Oh, she is.
She doesn't take herself too seriously.
She definitely adds something to the show. The show would not be the same at the moment without her.
The dress, her wedding dress.
Oh my God.
I loved it. I thought it was superb. Mm. I absolutely loved it. Unfortunately, nothing like that would look nice on me because, like, I mean, I'm 5'6" and definitely don't have a figure like Lauren. Like, she must be 6 foot.
Yeah, maybe
she looks. I just thought she looked stunning.
Yes. I just think it's sad that you don't think something like that would suit you.
Sad.
Yeah.
Other things would suit me here.
Yes, I know. Loads of things.
Maybe one day you'll even see it.
Oh no, here we go.
What about the sister, Stephanie?
Stephanie, the stepsister, yeah. The evil stepsister. Oh, look, I don't know about being evil, but she's certainly very po-faced. She was horrified at the antics of Lauren. Then again, you couldn't exactly blame her. The girl is loud with a capital L. Her language, what she was talking about, her drinking, which, let's face it, is a source of concern. If it was a man drinking like that, I don't know if he'd be loud on the show.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she did. Like, every time you saw her, she had a glass of wine in her hand.
Totally.
Or she was looking for a glass of wine or champagne or something. She was, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think she was sober for most of the wedding.
Well.
From the time she was getting ready, she was drinking.
I don't think she was sober for most of the show because even, we'll be getting to it later on, the photo challenge and that. She even had a drink during the photo challenge.
And she was hungover in the morning of her wedding. She slept in.
Oh, my God. What a disaster.
But no, come on. Stephanie takes the biscuit. I mean, we were talking about this earlier on and you said, what about the sister? Should, you know, what's her name? And I went, does anybody care? Like, she just, like, she was like, you're right, the evil stepsister. So she has this opinion of what Jonathan wanted or Jonathan deserves in life. And Lauren definitely is not it.
Mm.
So she'd be raging, I think, if the two of them make a go. Imagine her actually having Lauren as a sister-in-law.
He was in trouble, though, by the time they got to the honeymoon. He was too much of a nice guy, according to Lauren.
Yes, and she openly admitted that she was basically going to chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah, I think she's used to the more, how should you say it, resistance from guys.
No, she's used to red flags. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. She's used to dating dickheads. So she said, you know, if I see a red flag, she's gonna make a beeline for it. I'm all over that red flag. You know, so this is kind of taking her out of her comfort zone as well. But they do seem to kind of be getting on. They do have good, you know, communication skills. They do kind of have the banter between them.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful for them.
Yeah, that was noticeable. You were expecting him to be, while not as horrified as Stephanie, you were expecting him to have a lot of reservations by this big character and be kind of maybe a little overawed by her. He certainly wasn't at the wedding. I will say that.
I thought he'd be turned off. By her. But no, he's embracing it. He's loving it. I think he's loving the challenge of it as well. So, I have high hopes for these two. What are you going to rate them?
What am I going to rate them? Yeah, they are getting on well, but you can't ignore the sort of deeper differences between them. There's also maybe the spectre of a problem. Well, if there is problems between herself and Tori, their friendship is being basically scuppered, I think. Maybe that'll all spill into drama, which may, you wouldn't know what way that could embroil them in the future. I'm going to be a little more reserved just for now, and I'm going to go 3.
I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4. I think that another these 4. Two have, okay. You know, they have what it takes to make it all the way to final vows. And I actually think they're in it for the right reasons. I think they're just going to have a laugh the whole way through. They're going to have a laugh. And if they continue to laugh together, they're just going to get closer and closer.
Okay. It's 3 there. Yeah.
True.
Okay, Sarah and Tim.
Getting back to the oldies now. I don't know, nothing really kind of happened with these two. I think maybe, is this one of those couples where they're kind of keeping them in reserve?
Under the radar,
they're
flying,
yeah.
Under the radar for now. For whatever reason, the producers are not giving us much footage of the pair of them.
I think the biggest, again, the only drama that happened was during the Honesty Challenge when she refused to give Tim her phone.
Yeah.
That kind of rang alarm bells at me. That was a red flag for me.
Well, it rang alarm bells with Tim because he's been cheated on. He has major trust issues.
And so had she.
Yeah, I know. So she should know better.
Yeah, it's just a bad start to the relationship. There's something kind of not right there. And, you know, is Sarah still in touch with her ex, I wonder?
Yeah, you'd wonder.
Well, I am wondering it now. I kind of didn't think so, but I am wondering it now. What did she have to lose by just giving her the bloody phone?
Suddenly, I have a thought. Suddenly, I'm thinking, Sarah and Eden have a friendship.
Yes.
Right? Is it possible that Eden was texting her about the Jaden situation and she didn't want him to see those?
Why wouldn't you want him to see? Is he close to Jaden?
Even so.
No, I doubt that was the situation. No, I don't think that would. That's nothing to do with Sarah and Tim. Okay. Like if Eden was texting Sarah and Sarah's texting Eden, unless they actually say something about Tim, I don't see why. Like if he got the phone and he read the conversation and there was something about Jaden, you know, Eden would, or Sarah would just have to say, listen, that's confidential. It's just between you and me. That's not to go any further.
Okay.
So no, I don't think that had anything to do with it. But there is a friendship there between Sarah and Eden. And Sarah is the person that Eden went to when she discovered the whole drama about Jaden. But look, we'll get to that now in a minute.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, again, nothing much happening with these two. So let's watch this space and see what happens next week.
You were pretty hopeful about them at our opening podcast. You gave them 3 out of 5.
Well, I wouldn't say that's pretty hopeful. Kind of middle of the road, if you ask me. Maybe, I suppose, more leaning on the positive side.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change that. I think like there's nothing to say to contradict it. There's maybe a little bit of a kind of an embryonic worry that I have in terms of her honesty.
But basically it's been no news, and no news means no change in your mark.
True enough.
Yeah, I'd be the same as well. I'm going to stick on 2 as well.
What about Cassandra and Tristan?
Cassandra and Tristan, an awful lot of shite. That's the only word you can call it. And kissing shite.
What is going on with these two?
Look, what's up with the Tristan fella? I mean, come on, he's going on like he was 10.
They're actually starting to annoy me. The pair of them are starting to annoy me.
Well,
it's so interesting, Cassandra rated really highly in all of the other grooms' photo challenges. Like, she was really up near the top in all of the photo challenges.
She's a very attractive lady, yeah.
She is, so she doesn't have any shortage of admirers.
No.
I kind of felt a little bit sorry for Tristan last week, and I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but this week he's just incredibly immature.
This whole, you know, I have my weight issues from before and I don't feel good about myself and all of that. You know, I suppose it begs the question, is Married at First Sight the right place for you?
Look, she was in a relationship before. She was in a long-term relationship before and she has certain expectations and she's been incredibly patient.
Oh, yes.
She's not going to remain that patient. She can't. Like, she's not his mother.
No.
She's supposedly his wife.
Yeah.
And she's getting nothing. And the blanketing over the head last week and everything was kind of going, okay. But the way they went on about that little tiny peck. Oh my God, I kissed her. Yeah, it's out of the way. It's done. Oh my God, it was a great kiss. All of this kind of stuff. I'm looking at, what show am I watching here?
I know. I thought I wasn't paying it proper attention because I was going, I missed the kiss. I looked down for a second and I missed it.
It was all just, they didn't even get to first base. So there's not a hope in hell of them getting to second base. You know, I do feel, you know, sorry for Tristan. Is it because of his weight issue? Like, it's gone off his body, but it's not gone off his mind.
Yeah.
Again, you know, he had rejection as a child. He needs to see a psychologist.
I know. Try being Irish. Everybody has rejection as a child if you're Irish.
Yeah, but he does. He needs to. And that's not up to her to sort out unless she has some sort of medical qualification that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I think he's deeper issues than, you know, this whole...
Should we be feeling sorry for Cassandra because she's ended up with him?
I don't really feel sorry for Cassandra. I think Cassandra, you know, she's rating high in my estimation right now because she is being patient with him. She's kind of giving him affirmations that he needs. Hmm. She's encouraging him. She's doing all of the right things. But I think she's going to flip. One of these days, she's going to say, do you know what? I'm not here for this. And, you know, I question, we said at the last episode that they'll probably just end up good friends and they'll both learn and they'll both grow.
Yes, I was saying that, yeah.
I'm querying now, will they even end up as good friends or friends at all or even talking?
I'm with you. I highly doubt it. I think this could get very acrimonious. She may feel kind of cheated of the experience, shall we say. Last time, low marks from the pair of us, two from you, one from me. I'm now giving them zero.
And I'm going down to one.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Another interesting couple, Lucinda and Timothy.
Oh my God. Again, a bit like Lauren. It must be the L thing. You can make a whole podcast on Lucinda. I suppose you could make a podcast on Timothy too. We get an awful lot of entertainment in a way from the pair of them. We get an awful lot of footage. They're being featured an awful lot, aren't they?
They are, and but there's a lot going on with them.
Yeah.
Lucinda's a very, very tactile person. She's a very sexual person. She's quite needy. Whereas Timothy is not a tactile person. He definitely isn't a sexual person. And although he did try to sell himself as being needy and, you know, well, the tin man who's going to keep it all hidden, he doesn't appear to be needy at all.
Okay, first and foremost,
I think he's happy with the way he is.
Let's deal with the tactile versus non-tactile. We've been through this before last series. It's my firm belief, I think it's yours too, that it's extremely difficult for couples to compromise in that department. You are either a tactile person or you are not.
Yeah, and if you're a non-tactile person, you're coupled with a tactile person, it is very annoying. You know, it is very, very annoying. And it's equally annoying for a tactile person who wants and needs
it's
that
hurtful.
Touch.
It's a feeling it's a of rejection. Language, you know, it's a rejection thing. Being tactile or not being tactile is one matter. But one thing you have to consider is this. The guy doesn't fancy her. This is my thinking on this. So that's the reason that he's just not communicating with her and he doesn't want all the contact with her. That's the real underlying reason.
I know, and it's really sad to see because she doesn't deserve that. It's kind of humiliating and degrading for her, isn't it?
Yeah, but the point is they're very much quite different people and he's entitled just not to fancy her.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I suppose it'll all come to the fore at the commitment ceremony. Do you think they're going to stay? Do you think he's going to right stay or do you think he's going to right leave?
Well, probably more than most people on the show. I don't think he's any great need to be on the show. He doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who's looking for, you know, an Instagram page or anything like that.
He's not a bad looking guy either.
No, if anybody's going to go, it'll probably be him. But I think he'll give it another week at least.
I think he will give it another week. You know, he did. I know he refused to do the photo challenge and all of that kind of stuff. Mm. But he did put her, you know, say, there is nobody else. It's you. You're the person that I want in all of this. But because all of the rest of them were so much younger.
Yes. And I think I think that's a valid reason. Actually, I was saying it myself and thinking it myself when I was watching the program. I was thinking, well, you know, how can you rate people purely on looks like that when you're putting people, you know, ladies who are in their early 20s against somebody in their late 40s, 50s? As you rightly say, it's...
Well, Richard did.
Yeah, I know. And look how that turned out for him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, true enough.
Okay. The previous scores, we gave two each.
I'm going to stick with two.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with two.
I can't do that, Linda. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back down to one.
God,
all the way down to one. Sorry.
At this stage, we'll have nobody after the commitment ceremony if your predictions come true.
Well, it's not about the commitment ceremony. It's about final vows.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, there'll be nobody at the commitment ceremony. They'll have to bring in all of these new couples.
I'm not saying he's going to drop out now at all. It's final vows, Linda.
Yeah, I know, but the scores are so low.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's final vows. They could stay all the way and still not a hope of saying yes to you.
Moving on. Before we have a row. Oh God. Look what we're moving on to. Harris number. Oh, sorry. Tori and Jack.
Yeah. Okay. I am
Groundhog Day.
Yes. I'm going to admit I was wrong.
Talk about low scores.
I'm going to admit that I was wrong, if I could, please. I'm going to admit that I was wrong saying that they were like Brad and Shona. No, you're right. Harrison and Bronte is a much better comparison because Tori is like Bronte was. She is deluded into thinking that she has a say in the relationship when she's absolutely none.
She thinks that they are all that. She genuinely thinks that they're a power couple.
Yeah.
She needs, like, seriously, wake up and smell the coffee, Tori.
Yeah.
So it started with this whole theory about the disgruntled ex.
Well, that's the way Jack was putting it forward. I think it probably was a pretty good relationship, at least in her eyes.
And in the ex's eyes.
Yeah, and I think he just got up and went one day and never told her a thing about the show.
He applied for the show, saw his 5 seconds of fame and grabbed it with both hands.
Oh, ran. Absolutely yeah. Ran.
Well, first of all, I suppose we better talk about what happened at the dinner party when he was called out.
I think we learned a lot about Jaden as well, too, in that Jaden rose to the challenge and decided he couldn't just sit there and see everybody ignore the elephant in the room. And Jaden was the one who challenged him.
But, come on, it was the producers that told him to challenge him. I don't think that came from Jaden. So, but look, he was challenging.
He didn't mind doing it. Let's face it.
No, he had no problem doing it.
Yeah, and he fell right into it and he did very well, I thought. But how could you with a guy like Jack? Like, at the end of the day, Jack just batted the whole thing off and sat back and actually spoke for Tori, if you notice. He said, well, you know, we were there last night and she held my hand and she told me she'd back me and all of this.
And you know what, you know, kudos to the emotional intelligence of this woman and all this kind of, and she's sitting there kind of saying nothing basically and, you know, with her head down. It was like, it just wasn't right. It's just also reminiscent of last season with Bronte and Harrison. She's gone on exactly the way Bronte was.
Exactly. It's amazing how they've just picked up the script, haven't they?
Yeah. You wouldn't think that there were two people with that kind of interactions and that they'd want two people with those interactions. But then again, it's good television.
Yeah, it is. The phone challenge. We all thought she had seen nude pictures of an ex. That's what it was billed as, wasn't it?
Exactly. She looked to be horrified at the photographs that she found on his phone.
Hmm.
Yeah, look, again, I don't know whether this is just a good edit on behalf of the show.
Maybe.
Like, she could have seen nude pictures of his ex and or whatever, whoever or whatever. And she could have been horrified and sick at the sight of it. But they made it out that they were pictures of him proposing to his ex. What's sickening about that?
Yeah, either way, the pictures were of him proposing. It actually showed, for once, a kind of a decent side, maybe a slightly sentimental side. That's all.
I'd have to agree with you. It was probably the only redeeming thing about his personality
exactly.
In total for the whole show. I don't know. And then, like, when they're doing the photo challenge and he basically said to her, prove that you're the hottest wife or something.
Prove to your man you're the hottest.
I'd prove it to him.
And she did. And he billed it as confidence, but actually she was being submissive. She was being exactly what he likes.
I thought she was going to her and said, would you get a life proving anything to you in order to prove anything to you, dickhead, daddy?
Yeah, he's kind of red or something, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, God, no. He just gives me the willies.
Let's get on with the scores. You gave them 2. I gave them 1. Where are we now, Linda?
I'm going to stick with my 2. You know, again, I think they're there. They're entertainment value, must watch TV, car crash, all of that kind of stuff. Shock factor.
Yeah, I think I'll leave mine where it is as well. I'm leaving it at 1 as well.
And I think Jack wants to be on it again. It's kind of, there's no such thing as bad publicity as far as he's concerned.
Yeah,
100%. It's just a typical Harrison thing all over again.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so moving on from those two idiots, Eden and Jaden.
Wow, we gave them 4 out of 5 each last time.
We did. And then the bomb dropped.
Yes, you suddenly wonder, what the hell were we thinking? Well, we didn't know the bomb was going to drop. We know the allegations we're talking about. I really find them really repulsive to talk about. I suppose his reaction to those past dealings, he says he's no regrets, but yet, if he had his time again, he'd do it differently. I find that contradictory.
I don't. And look, I know you were horrified and you were sickened by the whole thing, but maybe that's the scene that him and his girlfriend were into. Maybe they did have threesomes. Maybe they did sleep with other people. Maybe that was the kind of relationship that they had, that they were into. I mean, who the hell knows? Maybe that wasn't so unusual for them. You know, if somebody had said to me, oh, well, I'm going to sleep with your best friend just to show you or I don't know.
And then like, the best friend did it.
And then the best friend did it. Yeah. It would just all be so completely weird and like...
What it shows is that there was a fair chance, in my opinion, that he was sleeping around as well.
Well, yeah, the fact that he could sleep with her ex as well, or her best friend as well, you know. And I can understand that it was triggering for Ian. I'm not surprised it was triggering for Ian.
Absolutely.
I can understand why she got upset. He said he didn't regret it at the time. And subsequently, after, you know, Ian, you know, vocalised about how upset she was, he said, you know, if he could do it again, he'd handle it differently.
Mm.
You know, I don't think that's a contradiction, Hugh.
All right.
You know, I think he did what he did at the time. He doesn't regret doing it at the time. He doesn't regret the consequences, nothing. But in hindsight, maybe with a little bit more maturity and being more objective about the whole situation.
Yeah.
He's admitting that, you know, if it were to happen now, I wouldn't do it.
I view it differently. I view it as toxic masculinity, and I am sticking with the fact that he can use the form of words, if I had my way again, I wouldn't do it. But he can't bear to say he regrets something, because that shows weakness to him.
But maybe he didn't regret it. That's a decision he made at the time.
No, he's saying he doesn't regret it now.
No, he said he didn't regret it. She said, do you regret it? And he said, no.
Yeah.
Like, I've done lots of things in my life, you know, looking back on them now, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, how did I do that? I shouldn't have done that or whatever. But at the time, did I think it was the right thing to do? Yeah, that's why I did it.
Okay. But he's not saying that. He's saying he was wrong to do it.
Oh, we could talk about this all night, seriously. We'll take this off air.
Either way, we can't be giving them 4 out of 4 now, I presume. My mark is well down. I'm giving them a 1 now.
I'm thinking that if they come back from this, it's going to make them stronger. And even Jaden did say, look, if we can get through this, we can get through anything. This is really the worst thing that you need to know about me.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is he said that he's so different from Mitch, and he really sold that from day one. And I'm wondering, oh, is he? Blood is blood.
Doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like they say, the apple falls far from the tree. Or
I'm still going to stick with my 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad.
What did you say you're going to give them?
1.
1?
Yeah, no, down to 1.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm down to 1. I can't see hope in hell.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
I can't see hope in hell. I think this won't be the last of it.
So you're going to give them 1.
1.
And I'm staying at my 4.
4-1.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Moving swiftly on.
Yes, we better. Oh, God, do we have to?
Oh, no. The most annoying participant ever in the history of maths. Collins is that. Natalie and Collins, ladies and gentlemen. We gave them 0 out of 5 each last time. I don't feel we're getting the full story.
What happened here?
Something
must have happened.
Yes.
Natalie went from, 1,000 miles an hour to 0 to stop, to moving backwards practically.
And if you were to believe the show, it was all about jumping in the bed. He didn't want to jump in the bed and suddenly it soured. That's if you believe what you saw on the show. Obviously something must have happened off camera.
Yeah, you're clutching at straws there. It couldn't have been that, you know.
I know.
But look, we knew that they weren't on the same page before they went to the dinner party. They were sitting silent in the car.
Oh, God.
It was painful to watch.
Yes, it was.
Then they decided to put on a show when they were coming into the dinner party. She was alone. He was off talking to everybody else. She just really seemed out of it. He didn't even get her a drink when they went in.
He's checked out of that relationship.
He never checked in.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He's like a clown.
Yeah. Oh, he's just, it's all about being on the show. It's all about being on the show. Absolutely. They had this breakdown, virtually a panic attack, I think she may have had, God love her. And
during the dinner party, yes. She got up and she ran out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she decided that she wanted to leave. She didn't want to do it anymore and she wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And she went back and told everybody.
Yes. And we got this most bizarre scene where she was so emotional, so upset, so real. And he was unemotional.
She was getting
unupset
attention.
And false.
Yeah, she was getting attention from everybody. And it was like as if he couldn't cope with the fact that she was getting attention.
Yeah.
And so it was, hey guys, hang on a second. Oh, it's a goodbye from me too. And all of this fakeness. I'm kind of sitting there going, what's he doing? What's he doing?
Couldn't watch it. Virtually couldn't watch it.
I
can still hear them in there. I can still hear them.
But nobody else bought it. And then afterwards, then his piece of camera, oh my God, I have to go back to work tomorrow. Oh no, I can't. This is the end of my journey. The end of my journey. There's no more maths. That's it for me. Oh my God.
Nothing about her.
Nothing about her
at all.
All
about the show.
No, nothing about her at all. And then, lo and behold, in she trots into Sky Suites.
Stupid scene.
And he's there. Why is he even there?
Stupid, stupid scene.
Why wasn't he put on a plane and sent home back to wherever he came from?
And they're going to give it another go. And they go to give each other a hug. And he barely tips her on the back. Did you see that when he put his arms around her? It was very weird.
One question. Why?
Oh, yes. Why? Flogging a dead horse.
It was just, it's so disingenuous. He will do and say anything at this stage to continue his journey on maths.
Yes.
Anything. It's horrible because she has genuine emotion. She's, I don't know what the producer said to talk her into coming back on the show. I don't know, but it's...
It must have been about the money.
It's horrible. No, it's horrible. I don't think she's motivated by money. No, I don't. No. I mean, she's a good job.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to be very materialistic.
I don't know.
Oh, look it.
I'm...
It's, oh, again, that's just, I'm not actually enjoying watching those two at all. Yeah,
let's wrap them up. Let's not even give
them. So we gave them a zero out of zero. Look, there's no minus one out of minus one.
No, you can't do minus figures.
Who can't? Let's I'm leave it at a minus one.
No, you can't, Linda. You're not allowed.
Watch me. Done.
Well, I'm sticking to the rules.
You know me.
Give them zero.
You say to me, you can't do that. What am I going to do? Like, come on. You should know.
All right.
So minus one and zero from Hugh. Yeah. Done. Okay. Ellie and Ben.
Ellie and Ben, we had our doubts about Ben and about his motivations. That's what the whole wedding scene was about. The cousin, what was his name? Jordan was interrogating him and all of that. And you know something? Things didn't get a lot better. Really, there was very little to report on Ellie and Ben, apart from the priorities challenge when they're ranking their values in a relationship.
Surprise, and surprise.
By God, they had totally different values. And really, the main thing was kids. Once again, you can't have half a child. It's one that it's hard to compromise on.
Like, I don't even want to talk about these two. There really isn't anything to talk about. It's just a non-entity.
Yeah.
There's just nothing happening with them.
We saw at this point they're boring. Something very worrying in that his take on it was, currently I don't want kids, but I might be persuaded. You want kids no matter what. Therefore, I'm being flexible. You're not being flexible. And therefore, we're never going to agree.
Did he make references to what females want?
He did. And we saw a distinct misogynistic view there. No doubt about it.
I've no, look at Jordan called it right. Jordan called it right. Fair play to him. Kudos to him.
Hmm.
I hope Ellie cops onto him very, very soon. He's not the right person for her at all.
As our UK viewers will no doubt say, he's a wrong'un.
He's a wrong'un. He is
absolutely a wrong'un.
There's no doubt that he's just there to promote his. Oh, we didn't even mention that he had a podcast. Like, so we actually have something in common with this ticket.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know.
We'll move on from that. We just kind of had to put it out.
We forgot to rate them last time because you distracted me.
Are we going to bother?
Yeah, yes, well, we better.
Go on.
What are we going to give them? Do you want me to start?
Oh, go on for the crack.
I'll just give one.
One, yeah, I think one as well. Yeah, one and one. My God, the scores are just so bad. I know I've said it already, but they're just so bad.
Now, we have a commitment ceremony coming up.
Yes, we do.
And can we just say, listeners, that while we've given terrible scores, I would be surprised if anybody goes at this commitment ceremony.
Well, yeah, it's unlikely that both of them are going to write leave. The only one that I'd be really concerned about that should go, really, well, there's a lot of them that should go, but Natalie and Collins. Natalie should write leave. There's not a hope in hell Collins is going to write leave. He is going to stay there regardless.
It won't matter. They'll stay. They'll stay because they made a big point of staying, so they will stay.
No, I don't think Natalie will stay if she really isn't feeling it. But I suppose this is the week where the experts are going to help them. They're going to step in and they're going to help them. So they're looking for the advice. So I think they'll all stay for one last week. I think we'll expect new couples in next week.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, that can be exciting.
We need a bit of fresh blood.
God almighty, Linda. They're barely in the place. They've only moved into the Sky Suites. Their cases are barely impact.
Early days. And I'm looking forward to the commitment ceremony.
We should say at this point, when you're talking to your friends about the show, please mention the podcast.
Oh, and thank you very much for your emails. It was actually really nice that people were emailing us before we put the show out saying, you know, are you going to drop a podcast?
Of course we are. Especially for the UK audience. The podcast is going to be going out on a Thursday night straight after the final show of the week.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that happens.
Oh yeah, we're not messing around this time. So as we always say, keep watching maths, guys.
Laters.
Bye for now. Before you go, just a quick request. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. And if you can, pop on a notification.
That way you'll know when our podcast drops. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email us on indicastreality@gmail.com. indicastreality@gmail.com.